Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I got asthma. Mr. Ed in here. Do I have a thing?
Where's your
It's
anyway?
Going around.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Please take careful dictation. If you have a question, comment, conundrum, snark, please send it to idea@wretched.org. If you want to send a text, 877, I'll let the kid do it. 877-282-2337 for us. If, however, after January 20th, and you watch our Martin Luther King Jr. special on a free webinar on the YouTube machine, send those emails to Virgil Walker at G3 Ministries. Virgil Walker at G3, because I suspect this could be a webinar that makes a little bit of a kerfuffle. Why? Because we're going to examine not the social work of Martin Luther King Jr. We are going to examine his theology. We're supposed to focus on him, says the nation's capital on January 20th. So we're going to specifically the aspect of him that's most of interest to us. What was the theology of this reverend? You're going to be shocked. Please visit the YouTube machine, find the Fortas Institute /wretched or wretched/Fortas. Just find us and get ready. 9 p.m. Jet, why are you raising your hand?
Because it's January 13th.
What?
You said 20th. January 20th is actually Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but the webinar is the 13th.
See, you correct me like that, and then you just make yourself look foolish.
I know.
Everybody knows that if you're going to do a theological treatise on Martin Luther King Jr. for the federal celebration, it's always 1 week prior.
Right, I know.
Because the talk show host is never, please don't embarrass yourself again.
I apologize.
So for the non-educated, I guess we'll just say January 13th at 9 p.m. That would be Eastern time. Join Virgil Walker, Jason Allen. He's our Fortas Institute director. You, mind blown. Get ready. YouTube, and then send your emails to Virgil. In the meantime, send it to us, idea@wretched.org.
All right, let's start with Alexandra. Todd, I am a mom to a one-year-old, and we are starting to discipline her for things. How do we get to the heart of our daughter as we discipline her instead of just correcting outward behavior?
You're probably not going to, but I think that there's still some things that you can do. First of all, I would suggest, regarding the issue of corporal punishment with little kids, please read Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. There is a reason it's been translated into about 800 languages. It's been around for years. It is thoroughly biblical. It is as relevant today as it was when he wrote it 20-some years ago. And he deals rather in detail about what do you do with a little child and teaching them, hey, sin has consequences. Well, you can do that by rightly, carefully administering even corporal punishment. I know that sounds severe when you're thinking about a kid. I'm not talking about take off the belt, grab the wooden spoon, and get the sledgehammer to deal with that boy. Talking about just being able, just like a tap on the wrist that is like, so that they start to connect that there is pain with sin. And it is not a good thing to pursue. I would also suggest as you do that, that you use a tone that indicates you're not mad, you're not punishing them, you're not angry at them. You are simply trying to help them to understand their need for a savior. And then as they mature, you can start incorporating more words, bigger concepts, and teaching them about the gospel. But you'll just have to do that mindfully. And I don't mean that in a Goldie Hawn kind of way. Just be thoughtful about it like you do with the books that you choose. You're probably not going to read the Swiss Family Robinson to your two-year-old, but you might do Dopey... What, George the Monkey? What was...
Curious George.
Curious George. To a two-year-old. As far as when does this begin, Ted Tripp, read his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. He'll help you to sort it out. Please note, we're not talking about violence with children. We're not talking about leaving a mark. That is not the purpose of discipline. It's never about inflicting pain. That's not the goal of spanking. The goal of spanking is to help them understand there's a consequence for sin and you need a savior. And when you set your feet on a path of sin, you're going to find yourself on unrighteous road and the consequences will be Psalm 1. You will not flourish. And you'll figure out exactly when to start that. Shepherding a Child's Heart. And by the way, all of the materials that they have at Shepherd's Press, their help booklet series, would encourage you to check it out. You might find one or more that applies to you, but you could also use it in your church lobby, I think. I'm not sure, but I think they sell like church lobby help books. So it's help, I'm addicted to marijuana, or help, my kid just came out of the closet. Help, I was just diagnosed with. Help, my marriage, and help, my husband, help, my wife. Help, I've got an anger problem. It's wonderful. And they're really biblical. And I think you can find all of those at Shepherd's Press. You might want to get them in your church lobby and then send us a text, 877-282-2337.
So I've got a question, a follow-up question.
Am I still...
You not found your inhaler?
No, it's spring here. Well, it's not spring. It's actually winter here in Georgia.
Right.
You're not dressing right.
A coat?
You know what? You can all... Southerners, when it comes to weather, we're sissies. I'll just admit it. We're just sissies when it comes to weather. Oh, it's going to be cold in 7 days. Close the school. It's going to be below 50. We can't have the kids out in that. I'm wearing the biggest coat. I've got a big wool coat and a scarf. Uh-huh. I wear earmuffs now. I think my ears got damaged in Minnesota. I do. I think they got frozen so many times that if I step outside and there's the cool breeze, man, does that just hurt my ears like a nobody's business.
I bet.
But it's also allergy season. And I think, and people are getting the schmutz. Everybody's got this lingering affair. Have you had it yet? You haven't had it yet.
I have not.
Anybody in your house?
Mrs. No.
Friel had it for pushing on 3 weeks.
Wow.
Mm. I'm shocked I didn't get it. But yeah. She just, it's just that upper respiratory thing. Yeah. And it just doesn't go away. So I'm just... Am I getting it? I'm taking my allergy. Zyrtec.
What about the lion's mane?
I'm taking it.
Are you?
I am.
You remember?
I'm sitting on my desk and I like them. They're chewies. They're like gummies.
So you've taken the whole bottle.
I just saw a commercial for creatine in gummy form. I don't know why.
I saw that too.
But they need on these bodybuilders.
Yeah.
These dudes, and they got their belts on and they've got the big dumbbells. And they eat their little gummy worm. The creatine in it. It just kind of... 877-282-2337.
I forgot my follow-up question.
I don't know what you're gonna
do. Now, this is from William. Todd,
you care about my health?
I do care about your health. That's why
What about me?
That's why I bought you the lion's
mane. The lion's mane. Right. I'm slipping, am I?
That's right. William says, Todd, I've recently noticed that astrology has been making a big comeback. How do I witness to people who believe in this?
Same way you witness to anybody. Really, this is so liberating. You can learn about astrology if you want to, but I would simply say, all I need to know about astrology is it involves the stars. There's my segue. Who do you think made those? By the way, you want a cool thought? This is a cool thought. I wish that I had written this. Wait a second. I think I actually did. My new book, it'll be out some decade, talking about the universe's size. And you know, 180,000 light years wide times the speed of light. That's just one out of millions and millions of universes. And you go, whoa, that's a massive universe. Why did God make it so big? If the center of the universe is Earth, which it is, because we're image bearers and this is where he has put us. This is where his son came to live and die. The Earth is the center of the universe. Why did he make it so big? Why didn't he just make it like just put us in a big box? Gave us all these stars and all these lights. And as we've been able to create these telescopes, we realize, whoa, it is so vast. Why so big? Answer, Psalm 103. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the Father's love for those who fear him. The universe is so big so that you can have a tangible understanding, a physical representation of the breadth of God's love. How much does God love his children? Look up at night, look through your telescope and go, that doesn't even come close, because God's love is even bigger than the universe. All of it, not just our galaxy, the whole shebang. God created a universe so that we could have an expression of his love so that we can start to go, I get it. God's love for his children, it's bigger than the universe. Maybe when we come back, I'll stop wheezing and you can actually get to a text, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio.
So we know Martin Luther King Jr. as a civil rights hero, but what did he believe about the Bible, salvation, and God? You'll find out January 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern as Fortas Institute hosts a free live webinar titled The Disturbing Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. Todd Friel, Virgil Walker, and Jason Allen will explore the controversial side of MLK's faith. Why did he reject substitutionary atonement? Did his liberal Protestant roots overshadow biblical truth? And how did secular influences like Gandhi shape his views on faith and activism? Was King's theology spiritual or strategic? Did he tailor his beliefs to fit the civil rights movement at the expense of eternal truths? These are hard questions that haven't often been asked. Todd, Virgil, and Jason will tackle them live and unfiltered. Subscribe to the Wretched Fortas Institute YouTube channel and turn on notifications so you don't miss this thought-provoking webinar. Again, January 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wretched Fortas Institute YouTube channel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortas Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortas Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortasInstitute.org or download Fortas Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortas Institute at FortasInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to be dazzled. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy. Dazzle us with the Bible verse you picked out, 2 Timothy 2:2. All right. Remember that. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is a verse that you could memorize this month. And then we'll pick another one for February, et cetera. And by the time we're done with the end of the year, you'll have 12 verses tucked away in your noggin.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be? And then one a month. It's like, okay, I can eat that slice of pie. That's not too big. I can handle that. Although I've never met a slice of pie I couldn't handle. The point is, you'll know 12 Bible verses and you'll have it hidden. Oh, where is it? William. It was William. He sent me an email in 2024 and he was dealing with stuff, you know, life and just sin and relationships and the thorns and the thistles that we live under because of Adam and Eve. And he wrote in expressing his struggles and I encouraged him. I said, why don't you read through the epistles and grab 5 Bible verses that speak to your issue. And then write those 5 Bible verses out onto a card and memorize them and then rehearse them all year long. So whenever your issue pops up, you go, 2 Timothy 2:2. Although, unless you're calling a pastor, that's probably not going to apply. The point is you're going to have that Bible verse tucked away and you can rehearse it. Hey, I'm feeling this way about God. No, that cannot be true because my Bible verse tells me that God wouldn't do that. And guess what? So it was December. I challenged him to do that for the new year. I don't know why. I think it was December 31st. I'm checking my email because we don't do the party thing on December 31st for New Year. And there was an email from William and he listed his Bible verses. Dude, you rock. Got it in just under the wire, but he got it in. And he did a manly thing. I know that there's a great yearning amongst young men to know what it means to be a man. We talked about that earlier this week, maybe yesterday, about Eastern Orthodoxy, why so many young men are going to that religion because it feels masculine, it feels muscular. And they're longing for that. Here you go. You want to be a man? Want to be a tough guy? Memorize 5 Bible verses that speak to whatever you're struggling. You got an anger issue? Go memorize 5 Bible verses. You'll suddenly start seeing that anger start to dissipate as you go about the business of remembering those verses in those situations when you want to go to 2:12. That is what it means to be a man. And that type of stuff is hard. That's hard stuff. You don't have to go climb a mountain to do a hard thing. Memorize Bible verses. It's a little more sedentary, but it's hard. And you will become a godly man increasingly as you bury God's word in your heart. And now to dazzle us, our very own Jimmy Hicks. Look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. I want to see your eyes.
Okay. Are you looking?
I'm looking.
Can you see that I'm looking?
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Right at the camera.
All right. Here we go.
2 Timothy 2:2, Paul talking to Timothy, the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
You got a habit.
A habit of?
Looking away.
Looking at, no, I'm looking at you.
No, you weren't.
I'm not looking
at you. No, your eyes died away. No, they did. No, you got that. I'm thinking hard.
Like, oh,
you right. Just kind of looked away a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it's sinful. I am saying it's sinful. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous who texted in. Tough question. Todd, why don't churches talk about grief or widows? I'm a 57-year-old widow. Even after telling people of my devastating struggle, no one cares.
Yeah.
Even the pastors. I received a couple of suggestions to go down the street to a grief group, but it's disturbing to me. I can't be the only one dealing with this.
That's heavy on 2 levels. 1, for you, madam. I'm so sorry. That is not the way the church should behave. I'm really, really sorry. And I'm sorry for your loss. 57 years old. to lose your one flesh partner, that's heavy. And that is why the local church must be the place for one another. I don't know if we all realize how much everybody on Sunday morning is hurting. Not to turn church into, life is just a big drag, Henny Penny, and it's just all awful. But the reality is, we live in a cursed world, and spouses die, and children run away from home, and diagnoses are given that are not welcome, and financial issues weigh down a young couple as they try to sort how to live together as a picture of Jesus and the church. It just every there's just, and some people, it's just extraordinary. Now, so for some folks, it almost seems like it's never ending. For some folks, it's seasonal, but we need to recognize we're not the only ones that have stuff going on. And that means we need to be one anothering one another. To you, madam, I can say to you is, if you don't have that kind of one anothering at your church, I'm trusting it's a good church, you could talk to the elders about it and just say, hey, I really have not been receiving much support. Could I get some help? They're a good church. The pastors, they are not going to kick you out of the office. They're just not. They're going to desire to help you. And then I would also encourage you you're going to have to work on it by yourself. You're just going to have to work on overcoming grief little by little as you walk closer and closer to Jesus Christ. That is your path forward. Yeah, time heals all wounds, they say, but it doesn't really heal them. They always leave a really crooked scar, because there needs to be more to healing. There needs to be growth in some areas that help you to understand why these things happen. And that you find your comfort, even as you do indeed mourn. There is nothing wrong with mourning the loss of a spouse. It does not indicate you don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean that. But you do then need to lean into the Savior who loves you and grow and be filled with His love. So you've got a little bit of a cavern that has been left by your departing husband. Jesus will fill it. You're going to have to work on that process. I would encourage you can go to the Googler machine, look for biblical counseling, not Christian counseling. If you find a Christian counseling site, don't click biblical counseling, grief, and start reading those articles. Jimmy, do we have any books in the Fortis store on the subject of grief?
Yes.
There's probably a help booklet that I mentioned earlier from Shepherd's Press. You can find that. And you'll the Lord will heal you. He'll see you through. And the fog will lift. And I'm sorry you're not getting that help. If I might, was reading an article. This is so crucial. And maybe, madam, you've done us all a service that you've prompted us. Maybe some pastors who are listening who are going to go, you know what? I don't think we have a culture of care where we love one another and serve one another. This is from Biblical Counseling Coalition, Caring for Souls, in a one another call. Oh, Gary gave this to me. The one another's have unique character. For example, the repeated admonition to love one another may include all one another commands. There's about 40 some, give or take, where we love one another. You got the book right there? What's that titled?
That is Grief, Walking with Jesus by Bob Kelman.
There you go. That is available at the Fortis store. That will help you too. The example, the admonition to love one another can cover all of the different encouragements that we do things for one another. There's four categories, however, of one another commands: spiritual growth ministry, heartfelt attitudes, specific actions, and speech prohibitions. You say, I'm a little fuzzy. Could you clarify that? Here we go. Spiritual growth ministry actions. So these are things that we can do for one another. Encourage one another. If you know somebody in your church, they lost their husband, why don't you walk up to them and grab them by the hand and say, how are you doing, sister? How are you doing? What can I do? Anything? And if you say you're going to pray for them, why don't you just do it right there? You build up. This is spiritual growth ministry actions. Admonish, comfort with words. Consider how to stimulate to love and good deeds. Heartfelt attitudes. Be devoted. Give preference to one another. Accept one another. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Third, specific actions. This is greet with a kiss. We don't do that in our culture, but greet each other warmly. Have the same care for others that you have for yourself. And then there's speech prohibitions. This is a biggie. Don't judge. Don't bite and devour. Don't envy. Which, boy, I got to tell you, that is one of the biggest corruptors and kudzu mechanisms the devil uses inside of the church. Those are things you can do. Those are things I can do. And you're going to want people doing that in your church. Because one of these days, you're going to suffer a loss. And you're going to want to be in a culture of one anothering. I'm sorry for your loss, madam. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis Newsbreaker production of Fortis Institute. Deep in the University of Utah's budget lies a revealing line item, $75,000 paid to maintain membership in medicine's new Ministry of Truth, which is the Association of American Medical Colleges, who demand this annual tribute not to advance actual medical knowledge, but to ensure future doctors spend more time studying gender theory than human anatomy. And while most state legislatures open 2025 with safe priorities, Idaho's Republican lawmakers chose to acknowledge what God established at creation. Their new resolution challenges not just Obergefell, but the very notion that any government, federal or state, has the authority to redefine what the Creator ordained, marriage as a union of one man and one woman. And Mark Zuckerberg, if you haven't seen, had a bit of a road to Damascus moment himself on free speech, and that has pro-life voices rising from digital exile. Life News found its account permanently banned for showing a video of an unborn baby grabbing a doctor's finger during a C-section deemed child exploitation by the same platform that regularly promotes drag queen story hours. A Christian mother's account vanished for daring to mention adoption as an alternative to abortion. Now these banished voices await proof of Facebook's conversion. And speaking of Facebook and Meta, behind their screens, their professional fact checkers huddle in emergency session watching their censorship empire crumble. The international fact-checking network, having built careers on deciding truth for the masses, now faces an uncertain future without Facebook funding. Their dictator insists they'll survive, though perhaps smaller. A fitting fate for those who made themselves the arbiters of acceptable speech. In Texas, a decade-long infiltration finally ended as officials discovered Planned Parenthood's silent grip on medical licensing. While babies died in abortion facilities, their industry's director held power over every doctor's medical credentials in the state. That revelation exposes not just corruption, but the methodical way the culture of death embeds itself in the systems of authority. Tennessee's heartbeat law is speaking in numbers. 47% fewer abortions in 6 months. And that data just validates what so many of us have long known. When the law aligns with higher law, lives follow. The Lutheran Church in Sweden, having long since traded eternal truth for temporal relevance, now closes its medieval sanctuaries for winter, sacrificing worship spaces to the modern idol of climate activism. And their roadmap replaces the gospel with environmental justice, as empty of true hope as their abandoned altars. And that wraps up today's Fortis Newsbreak. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mark your calendars, January 13th is almost upon us. This is Wretched Radio. Hope you can join me, Jason Allen, Virgil Walker from G3 Ministries. Monday, January 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, The Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. What better way to celebrate that federal holiday than to study that minister's theology. Get ready. It's a Lulu. You can find us at the YouTube machine. Just look for Wretched, and you can subscribe and you can do the reminder thing, and it'll let you know 9 p.m. Monday, the theology. I think the title of it is The Disturbing Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. And kindly send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Anything you see that is wretched, please send it. Or text away at 877-282-2337.
This is from Matthew. Todd, I know that you've been promoting the Better Way podcast coming soon, but I must ask, since this is a podcast with a woman host, is this a podcast a man should or shouldn't listen to?
I think you used the keyword three times.
What's that?
Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast. It's not a church service. It's not in church context. Can you learn from a woman? Yeah. The issue is authority. And if it, I think also context also, I think, makes a difference. But nevertheless, because sometimes a woman can usurp authority and it's not in the church if it is playing the role of authoritative teacher with a group of men. But if a woman does a podcast and you as a man want to eavesdrop, I don't think you're violating 1 Timothy 2:12 at all. I think you're just gleaning and learning. Now, what about like a Joyce Meyer conference? Well, that's more like a church service. And that's a woman getting up to speak to an audience authoritatively. I don't think a man has any business. I don't think any human should be going to a Joyce Meyer. That was a bad example, I guess, is what that was.
It was.
Nobody be going to the Joyce Meyer business, but listening to another podcast to learn, I wouldn't. Guys, you're going to learn. John Kratz. We haven't released this yet. Oh, wait. So good. Gentle Man. And it was intended to be for a male audience, and it was. But I thought to myself, as John Kratz, he's one of our fellows here at Fortis, as he was giving one of his 10 or 12 lectures on what it looks like to be a gentle man, a biblical godly man, I thought any woman who listens to this is going to glean some wisdom. That's what I should expect from my husband. That's what he's supposed to look like. Or positively, that's what he does look. Oh, cool. Good. I got myself a good one here. And you can learn. So I don't think that you're violating scripture by tuning into Libby Glosson, The Better Way. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, it is. It is. Hey, look, I just want to say about Libby. I've worked with a lot of people. She is one of the people that have picked up radio as quickly as she has than anybody I've ever worked with.
What about Greg Gifford?
Well, yeah, yeah, but he.
What about Brad Bigney?
These guys have done stuff.
You're sexist, and you're probably racist too.
She's a natural, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, but you know, great. You know what I think. What drives that? First of all, she's got a lot of gray matter that helps.
Yeah,
but she just has a desire to see people love the Lord more. And so what do I, so she's like, Jimmy, listen to it. Tell me what you think of it. Hey, right, I did it like this. Tell me what you think of it. Yeah. She wants to be pleasing to the Lord. She wants it to be the best offering she can give. So I think those two things, and she's gifted. Yeah. So that doesn't hurt either. That starts February 7th. Don't confuse that with January 13th. Get ready, 2025. I'm telling you, we got Fortis stuff. We're going to be presenting these things. We're already scheduling more webinars. I think they're on topics that hit right in the bullseye of our lives. And we're going to be producing resources. A Life Without the Numb is with Greg Gifford. His book is going to be coming out in the spring, Lies My Therapist Told Me. I think maybe, possibly, we're going to be releasing Play the Man. It's the book that I wrote on pornography, and it's different. A number of years ago, like 20 or so, I delivered a sermon at a church. This was a big error. This is... Looking back, it's like, duh, I was actually asked to preach on Father's Day a sermon aimed at men and pornography. And it didn't even dawn on me till it was done when women were looking at me like, what were you thinking? Well, I was asked to do it and I didn't think. I'm not like Libby Glosson, okay? So back off. So delivered that sermon and then somebody grabbed it. What's the name of that press? They grabbed it and they basically said, can we turn it into a booklet? Sure. And it's called, it's Slaying the Lust Dragon. So I think we had it on audio and I think we had it in a book form. And I think that it's all still valid, but there was something missing. There's something missing. It was strong because it was a real powerful denunciation of sin and what porn does, how corrupting it is, and a call to repent and examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. It had all of those elements, but it didn't have anything to really help a man. This book does. I think it's different. And I think it'll set your heart on a trajectory that helps you to overcome your sin more and more. And so we're going to be releasing that amongst a bunch of other things. All of it, by the way, courtesy of our gospel partners, all of those, the stuff that we've got on the website that you can watch, the daily clips, all of it, the podcast, free. Go to the podcast machine, fortisplus.org.
This is from Debbie. Todd, she texted in, I know the Bible says that fasting should be a private thing. So do you think it's okay for a couple to fast together as they pray for their adult children's marriage?
Yes, because you're one flesh and you're not fasting in front of somebody else. It's your spouse. And that is how close you should be. And you're not doing it to brag. The admonition of Jesus about fasting in public, you know, like, oh, hey, how are you doing, Todd? Well, I'm fasting, you know, for spiritual reasons. That's what Jesus was after. It was self-righteousness. It was to be a braggart. That's what the admonition is after. So if you're doing that with your husband, we're supposed to spur one another onto love and good deeds. We do that with each other. We run the race of sanctification with our spouses. Now, you could still corrupt it with your attitude if you're trying to impress your spouse. But if you're doing it spiritually, together as one flesh, I say, fast on. 877-282-23. Don't read a book by Jensen Franklin on it, though. Just do your fast. Ignore the Jensen. 877-282-2. His church is going to be opening up in our town. I think, I don't know if it's this year or not. He's, can I tell you? You tell me if this is sinful.
Okay.
I want to put up billboards in Alpharetta. That's our town. That's where Alpharetta Bible Church is. Because that... You ever doubt Providence?
That's it.
Alpharetta Bible Church is actually in Alpharetta. We teach the Bible. It's a church. That ain't luck. And I want to get a billboard on Highway 400, like for whatever, January, just for a month. We don't unhitch the Old Testament.
Oh, that's good.
AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org. Is that too snarky?
Well, you know he'll drive by it.
No, he'll be driven by it. Oh, well. But we digress. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Hunter. Todd, when Lazarus was brought back from the dead, was he deglorified? Did he go from
that's being, a funny phrase.
Yeah, did he go from being in heaven to back on earth as a sinner?
No, I don't think... We don't know where those people went. That's all. We know they died. So what state were they in? Did they know what was happening? It's a miracle from start to finish. So they genuinely died, but they did not go to heaven. This is what makes it a miracle. This is when God suspends his laws to do as he pleases. So I don't think somebody would go to heaven. I don't think that somebody would go to hell and be snatched out of hell and sent back to heaven to write a book, or right back to earth to write a book. And the same thing is true with all of these heavenly tourism books. You die absent from the body, present with the Lord. These people, forever, these people could not have been snatched back. So where did they go? The answer is, I just don't know. When was the last time you heard a talk show host say that? 877-282-2337.
I thought you knew everything.
Oh, in my mind, I do.
What's our verse of the month?
Huh? What? Need some lion's goat.
Lion's coat? You don't even know the name of it.
Whatever.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to...
No, you're not.
Why?
Read the question, Hicks.
Are Christians that are not members of a church going to go to heaven? That's a text from Trenton.
Are Christians
that are not church members going to go to heaven?
Oh, I couldn't possibly know. A Christian should be a church member. And now, there could be a lot of reasons that they're not. I don't think, with the exception of a physical limitation, I think a Christian should be a member of a church. I think that that is an assumption that is replete throughout the New Testament. And if somebody is willfully not wanting to do that, I'd be concerned. I wouldn't make a definitive declaration they're not saved. I'd want to come alongside that person, teach them how wonderful the local church can be, point them to all the Bible verses that indicate you really need to be there to not forsake the assembling of the saints so you can do the one another's with one another in the local context. But I wouldn't conclude that they're not, and unless somebody is like belligerent and I hate the church, I hate the bride of Christ and all the people, well, then I might be concerned, but let's not make blanket statements. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we've got a lot going on. We've got our latest webinar coming up January 20th with Virgil Walker, where he and Todd will discuss the disturbing theology of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's going on January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for more details. Also, coming up February 7th, The Better Way debuts with Libby Glossin. And trust me, ladies, you don't want to miss this. And what else is happening here at Fortis Institute? Well, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. We thank you for all of the support that you've shown us here at Fortis Institute. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You don't think Jimmy can be snarky? Well, this is Wretched Radio.
Me?
What did you say after the last segment? Say it the same way. Because I kind of put the gun to your head.
You wish you
had. You were going to try to just stretch it out.
I was.
And have we had blather like, for 57 seconds. I watched the clock, you know, and you didn't want to read the question, but you did. And then when immediately went to break, you said.
You wish you had more time for that question, don't you?
But it wasn't said like that.
Yes, it was.
An attitude.
I'm so pleasant.
877. I don't think I have more to add. You got to be in a church. It could be a sign you're not saved if you're not willing to join a local church. Some people are in a place where there isn't a good local, genuinely not a good Bible at all. They're not within orthodoxy. Unfortunately, and this hurts a little bit, but if you're in one of those scenarios, if you've got a church and some of their secondary and tertiary doctrines, you're not nuts about at all, but they're square on the essentials, and that is your only option, join that church. It's that important for you. It is that necessary. It is your safe place. And if you're not a member of a local church, you're the Marlboro man and you are riding out into the Montana. By the way, Montana, did you see that game with Montana, North Dakota?
No.
Do you think Lion's Mane would help with my ADH, whatever?
Maybe. Yeah.
So become a member of a local church. You want to become a member of a local church and serve there. And by the way, it will grow you. If you're like me, and if you are, I'm sorry for that. But if you're like me and you're kind of, you know, like conservative theologically, and you just really like your tuts and your tittles all in the correct places, that would be hard, wouldn't it? That'd be hard. And yet you would be called to love those people too. Imagine how that would grow you. You see, there's no downside to being a member of at least a small old Orthodox church. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Dominic. Todd, you recently mentioned that a pastor does not have an obligation to help an attendee at his church if the individual is not a member.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it makes sense that a shepherd is only responsible for his flock. However, shouldn't a pastor be willing and able to help a professing believer since we're unified through Christ and part of the capital C church?
Yes, yes. If everybody who's a member is being taken care of, that membership has its privileges and the pastor is committed to you. Now, if you're a regular attender and the pastor can, he will. Of course he will. I mean, any pastor who's decent is going to make that sort of an effort. And he's a good pastor isn't going to go, all right, so your kid ran away from home and you're hurting. But I notice you're a regular attender. I have some Bible verses I could offer, but we have a class for a membership program. It lasts 12 weeks. Take it. And I'll share so you can find comfort in losing your child. Nobody's going to do that. They're going to help you. But you have to be prepared. Should the pastor say to you, my friend, brother, sister, I'm so sorry that you're hurting. My plate is overflowing with the needs of the people of the church. I'll do my best to find you some other help, but I just can't. Don't be offended. Don't be offended by that. Please don't. In fact, don't ever be offended by your pastor's scheduling. Please don't. If you got a good guy, if you got a guy who's square, oh, don't ever be offended. If he doesn't show up at your bed when you're getting your surgery, don't. Look, it's possible maybe he's become neglectful in some of his duties. Well, you can talk to him about that, but don't be scalded by it. Okay, the man, maybe he's off course a little bit and he is sinning, but just give him grace. Okay, he must be super busy because I know he's a godly shepherd. So I'm not going to be offended by this. My nose won't be, oh, only a deacon came and an elder didn't. No. Not if you got a batch of godly guys serving as elders and deacons, you got yourself a great church. No, I'm not kidding. It's a great church, but we don't have a lot of programs. You got something better than programs. You know, the kids' land, that's not like Wamba land. Well, praise God for that. You've got something better. You've got elders who care and they're trying to be godly and biblical. Cut them some slack. They got stuff going on. They've got loads that they're carrying. And it's not that they don't care. It's just that there could be some constraints that we're simply not aware of. And we put the best construction on everything, even with our pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Alex. Todd, are minimum wages...
And by if I could, I just to clarify, Jimmy, would you go back? Well, I don't know if you said it was a text or an email, but you said the pastor isn't obligated to that. Yes, I did say it, but let me just package that a little bit. It was with all that other stuff. It wasn't like he's not obligated to take care of you. It's like, he isn't. this is one of those assumptions about church membership. We were going through the one another's earlier. There's like 40 of them. All right, with whom should you do the one another's? Let's leave your pastor out of this for a moment. With whom should you do the one? Okay, Jimmy, I'll put you on the plate.
Okay.
With whom should you do the one another's?
Everybody.
Everybody. So what have you been doing today? Have you been taking care of the people in the office next door? Have you been one anothering them?
No.
You know, there's a Christian ministry right next door to us. Have you been one anothering them?
No, you didn't let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
Everyone that's a member of my church.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't you care about other Christians?
I do, absolutely.
Well, then why aren't you one anothering everybody? Because you can't.
That's right.
You can't. You just can't. I mean, like, even if you dedicated 24/7, which you can't, to one anothering everybody on the planet, you're not going to get the job done. And so the one another's actually constrain that to local church. Well, is it everybody in the church? Nope. It's with the members. Now, same sort of principle and pattern, though, as the fellow who emailed in about what, you know, my pastor and being obligated to take care of people who aren't church members. The same rule actually applies to you. You got to be one anothering members first. That's your family. And this is why the regular attender label that we've adopted just far too quickly in evangelicalism, it is not good. It is not good. Because if you're not a member of a church, look, the people who are members there, yes, they should one another to you if they can. But if they can't, they're not obligated to you. You haven't joined the fam. That's the joy of membership. Now, again, if you are a regular attender, we're going to love on you as best we can. But because we don't have authority over you, we can't really love you rightly. We can't. You're in sin. We cannot correct you. What power do we have? There's no muscle to enforce a biblical error. And so you need to be a member of a church. And then I would add on that same caveat that we talked about before with pastors who are really busy. If you're a member of a church and your pastor can't get to you, oh, cut him some slack. Cut him some slack. You got yourself a godly man. You give him the benefit of the doubt. Sorry for the digression.
That's okay.
All righty.
This is from Alex Todd. Are minimum wages biblical or socialist? Should they be defended on the grounds that a worker is worthy of his wages?
Yep. There it is. Look, if we're going to be capitalist, which it is a bit of a theological subject because I do believe capitalism is supported in the Bible, then we need to let capitalism play itself out. That's why I'm not a big fan of unions. I think the slow hand of capitalism takes care of itself. It'll take a while. And if a group of workers at a particular place say, boss, we're starving, we're not getting, I know people down the street, up the wage, would you? I say, go for it. Respectfully do that, but go for it. But the idea of the government stepping in and mandating any wage, I think that's outside of their jurisdiction. And I don't think that they have the authority to even do that biblically. Of course, they do it legally, but they don't, I think, have biblical support for that. And yeah, I do believe it. So anything that is, you must pay this much, this is the minimum wage. How deep into socialist territory is it? I don't know, but it's in that territory. So too, by the way, taxes that are different levels of taxation, I don't think that's biblical at all. It's so funny to me. The rich need to pay their fair share. Okay, good. So what is that number that we all pay? Because that's what fair means. We all do the same. And so this gradation of taxes where wealthy people, whatever it is that they pay, because I don't know, whatever it is that they pay, and that's more, that's not fair to them. And I get it. I think it's really motivated really by a rather covetous and greedy heart. They've got a lot. So it's fair that they are mandated to give it away. That ain't fair. That's coercion. And I don't think that's biblical at all. if we share our money, it should be from the heart. It's because we want to give. So I think the idea of taxation that is based on economic level, yeah, that is socialist. And that ain't biblical. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.